Time for another local hero spotlight with Jennifer Kaur, the executive director of CESA.
And not the new director of CESA.
Yes, she is officially, the torch has been passed from Phil Korman to Jennifer Kaur. So no longer will we refer to her as the new executive director. But we're at McKinstry Farms in Chicopee, which is this gorgeous farm store, like a mini grocery store and farm stand, but we're following Warren McKinstry into the greenhouses. Hey, Warren.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How long has this farm been here in Chicopee?
Well, we've been in Chicopee since 1908. We've been farming for it.
Wow, that's amazing.
We used to be on McKinstry Ave in Chicopee, and now we moved into Montgomery Street.
They can't rename this street McKinstry?
I don't think so.
I think that would take a lot longer to do.
And so that's a huge, long legacy family farm to stay in the McKinstry family as well, and you are part of the next generation looking to take over the operations.
Yes, me and my brother together. That's the plan.
Now we're entering the greenhouse, which is environmentally so much more up my alley than the cold of December, and it smells great in here. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. It's our first year growing with the greenhouse in the winter, and it seems to be going so far pretty good. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So this is a brand new greenhouse?
Brand new, yes. We got a grant for it, and then we built it in the spring and then had it ready for our bedding plants in the spring. And now we're getting going with the vegetables. So.
Where did the grant come from?
Ask my brother that one. Okay. He's the one that applied for it, filled it out.
The greenhouse came at the same time as the change to your parking lot, yes?
Yes, it did. That's correct. We had a lot of construction going on this year.
And we learned from Nicole McKinstry, who just walked into the greenhouse, that the parking lot expansion had to do a little bit with the Air Force base that's right by where you are right now.
That is correct, because we have a railroad truck that ran through our field. It has been abandoned, but yes, there was a little bit of a problem with that, and we worked through that with the city and the Air Force base, so it all worked out well.
Do you ever get the Air Force to just, when you need to irrigate or fertilize, just do a flyover?
We've asked. They just look at me a little strange.
So, is this your son over here that's...
No, let me find him. Where's Will and Warren?
I haven't seen him. Just left. I think he went to go find you guys.
Oh, yeah.
How many square feet is this? Do you know, Nicole?
The greenhouse?
Oh, it's... I think it's... How much is it, Jordan?
Half an acre.
How much has having this greenhouse, even this year, changed how you do farming? Because I remember, I come here because this is one of the local markets right behind my house. And it's going to change what you offer in the winter quite a bit. How has it changed your growing patterns for the winter?
It actually, it's working out really well. I mean, we're just really starting to harvest our produce now from here. It is new, and the boys have been... you can see working really hard on getting this up and going. It's great because it's, nice to have fresh stuff still even in the wintertime. We grow a lot of stuff in the summer and have some stuff in storage, a lot of our root vegetables that we do sell throughout the wintertime. But this is actually really literally fresh picked and grown here by Will.
And Will has just entered the greenhouse wearing the green CESA hat. We're hat twinsies
well
today.
Representing. Yeah.
CESA, excellent merch this year.
Great.
Jennifer Kaur. Will, thanks for having us in this brand new greenhouse.
Yeah.
We were talking about it was a grant-funded greenhouse. Where did that grant come from?
It came from MDAR.
Mass Department of Agricultural Resources. And is that where the Farm Security Infrastructure grants come from, Jennifer?
Was it part of the FSIG or was it a different program?
It was part of the FSIG, yes.
Yeah.
Which is a huge program that farm after farm after farm we go to, we hear little bits and pieces about how this brand new thing was funded by an FSIG or the Farm Security Infrastructure.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where when you spend a lot of time, as we do now, visiting farms, checking things out, you see that these impacts over the whole ecosystem of farms. It's pretty great. Definitely. So look at this.
We're very grateful.
So what are you excited about growing here in this first season in this giant acre greenhouse at McKinstry Farms and Chicopee?
So right now we're harvesting some lettuce. We got hydroponic basil growing.
Let us in. It's cold outside.
Oh, I love it.
It is, though.
There's a couple red cherry tomatoes we're just starting to pick. And then we got some beefsteak tomatoes. Peppers, red pepper, bell peppers coming, and then seedless mini cucumbers and English long green cucumbers.
So, Will, you're Mr. Greenhouse, right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Field.
And Mr. Field.
Yes.
Production guy.
Great. And then, so, Warren, you're Mr. Farm Store?
Yes, that is correct, yeah.
How do you oversee your children in this endeavor, Nicole?
Well, I like to think that I try to oversee them, but I think now it's at a point they secretively try to oversee me.
Or overthrow you.
That could be, too.
No, but there is a plan to kind of to transition into the next generation.
Yeah. Absolutely. The boys actually have come on board with the business, and they are slowly have percent ownership in the business. So it's really great. And it's really great to see them take it to really a whole new level than what Bill and I have done.
Before you had this greenhouse online, were you buying in fresh produce in the winter? Because here we are in the season where the cucumbers and tomatoes are pretty hard to come by.
Yeah, we were buying it in, but we just actually started going year-round with our new farm store that we built in 2021. So year-round is kind of new for us, yeah.
And with that being said, Will, he's in the field constantly this summer. This had a deadline that was due, I think, was it July, Will, or August, that you had to have this completed and up? Yeah, and then it came at a really bad time. It's in the middle of him planting and harvesting, but it amazes me. He made it happen, and he has stuff grown in this as well. I'm just not sure how he does it all, but he did.
How has what you need at the farm store informed what you're growing here in the greenhouse?
The farm store makes us need a variety, right? From a production standpoint, yes, it would be much easier if we just had one crop in here that I had to worry about. But we're growing a wide variety of lettuces. We have butterhead, we have red leaf, green leaf, we have the malty leaves that we're cutting for salad mixes and spring mixes, herbs. So the farm store makes us have a variety, but diversifying can also be a good thing. So if there's ever a problem, we have something else that we can fall back on.
So McKinstry has this new giant acre greenhouse that's just online.
Half acre.
Aha, corrected. This first year is the first year of operation. Farming in the fields, how much are you farming?
We're farming about 250 acres.
So that's massive. Terrible.
Yeah. And tell them we're all over where we're at. And Will's always looking for land to buy, so just keep
If you're listening
mind.
And want to sell to a farm, yeah.
Keep it in farming.
Yeah, because it's not contiguous. It's really hard to find contiguous farmland in Massachusetts in particular, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, so Chicopee, actually, we have the least amount of farmland where our store is, but it's the city. So most of our fields are in Hadley and Granby, and then we rent some fields in Amherst and Belchertown. Uh-huh. It's very hard to manage, especially moving equipment and stuff, too.
Yeah, and I can relate to that because it hurts my pocketbook when he says, you know, he has to move this tractor from here and this equipment over there. It would be nice if we had all these pieces could stay here. But, I mean, it's a challenge. It's been an ongoing challenge as the boys have been growing and getting busier. It's actually, you know, there's a lot of costs that go into that with labor and fuel. And sometimes people don't recognize that, you know. But in order for Will to grow as much stuff as he does grow, I mean, this is what it takes.
You're growing in about half of this greenhouse right now. Is that to get more accustomed to having it as part of, like, your growing cycle?
Currently, half of this greenhouse is set up for hydroponics, so we just wanted to get our feet wet.
Or not get your feet wet, I guess, because hydroponics are up on a table, yeah.
But the other half, we grew actually our crop of annuals, bedding plants, in the spring. And then all our vegetable starts last year, we were able to move in time, so all the tomato plants for the field and the pepper plants for the field, broccoli, cabbage, we were all started on that side.
So this farm started in 1908. Nicole, you're the current generation, and then passing it on to your sons, Will and Warren here. Did you grow up a McKinstry, or did you marry into McKinstry?
I actually married into the McKinstry. So let me tell you something. When you marry into a farm, it's much different than when you were born and raised on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And these boys, I mean, it's in their blood. They love it, and nothing can change it. It's just amazing. Versus, you know, when you kind of know what's on the outside, it's a little different.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment, Warren and Will, where farming was not what you thought you wanted to be doing, that maybe you wanted to do something else? And then went Rammspringa, but returned to the farm?
Well, growing up, it wasn't always something that I thought I wanted to do, but then it changed as I got older in life, and then it really became a passion of mine.
And that was Warren, the farm store manager there. What about you, Will?
Never changed in my mind.
Always a farmer.
Always, yeah.
I love that.
Clarity from the beginning.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to know. I mean, you know, some kids grow up and like, I want to be a firefighter, and then every once in a while, they do. But that's what happened with you. Want to be a farmer. Grew up and been a farmer.
Warren, why the farm store instead of being out in the fields with your brother?
Somebody's got to do
That's
it.
That's a good question. Yeah, Warren.
Working with family is always fun. And then growing up, I wasn't always out and as active with the farm as Will was. And Will really took a liking to the farm and then the field work side of things, and especially driving the tractors and all that. And that wasn't really my passion. I'm a more people person. I like working with the store and working with the public and all that fun stuff. So, and then that way here, it worked out a lot better, a lot less arguing and everything else.
Know your lane. So we're in the greenhouse lane of McKinstry Farm, but there's all sorts of other stuff going on too, and it is the holiday season, and I saw you guys get a lot of other stuff going on that may be more typical for farm stands that don't have a half acre greenhouse growing. Should we go wander around a little bit, Nicole?
Sure, absolutely. Will, I don't know if you want to take them start through the packing shed and go that way, and then show them what you do and harvest over there, and then Warren can take you into the store.
Cool. All right, let's go. Leaving the tropical climes of the greenhouse, sadly.
Yeah,
back to New England.
Ironically, Will loved this since he was a little kid, and we never forced either boys into it. But I'll never forget the day when Will was in diapers and he wanted to go to the Hadley farm. And I said to him, oh, you can't go to the Hadley farm with your grandpa and your dad yet, because I said, you're not potty trained yet. Well, what do you know? 5 days later, he was potty trained and he was ready to go to the farm, and he's never stopped since.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly the story everyone wants their mom to tell on the radio.
How's your potty training going now, Will? No, just kidding.
So we have several barns here and packing shed here on the farm, you can see. The first one Will is going to take you into, we call the new barn. It really isn't a new barn, but...
Well, you've been around since 1908.
Yeah.
Lots of things that are old are new.
It's the newest barn, and he'll show you in here how much butternut that he grows and stores in here, and then he packs and peels it with his team all winter long, sells it all over the place.
How much of your product is sold in the store versus distributed out wholesale?
I'd say it's about 50%.
Nicole answered 50-50, but we're
yes.
Trying to walk into the barn.
You have a lot of keys on that keychain.
Yeah, there's so much butternut here.
Towers of butternut.
They got rid of a lot of it through Thanksgiving, which was Will was really grateful for. So
yeah. Process it, and then we also ship out whole butternut up until Easter in
wow.
April.
Wow. So this isn't very climate controlled in here. It's just a barn, right?
So well, we have heaters, so we have to keep it at like 55 degrees.
So if it gets too cold, it'll go bad, but if it gets too warm, same thing.
Yes. Yeah, so. If it gets too warm, it'll dry out, so when you cut into it, it's a little stringy. So we try to keep it right at that 55 degree mark.
Perfect. All the way through Easter. That's really yep. incredible, yeah.
And how much of this will you process? You said you do peel and
yeah,
process
so
them?
Yeah, so, like, we have different types of squash. So, like, this is a smaller. This is like
Will is climbing the pallets of squash.
Perfect size for the grocery store. So, and then we have, like, this climb.
It's climbing again. I call him Spider-Man, but we'll call him Squash Man for our purposes.
It's bigger.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the big ones we peel and process, and then the small ones we ship whole.
He's very particular about where his product goes, but he does sell it all over. I mean, from grocery stores to other farm stands to, he has big dreams, and he'd love to do something down by the Cape someday.
Yeah.
And sell
me
there.
Me too, but not farm. Mostly sit on the beach and drink.
This squash is like 8 pounds.
That's not a big one either.
Maybe you should
get
mine for a real big one.
Oh, I've also got a squash. I can't be the only one without a phallus walking around.
That's a huge one.
Whoa! Yeah, these are some big squashes. I got one.
You want a bigger one?
It's not the size of your squash. It's how you use it. That counts.
That's the size of a baby.
Aww.
My baby.
Give me relief. Squash whole beef. Don't let these arguments destroy us. I think. Give me relief. Squash whole beef. Don't let these arguments destroy us. Check.
All right, back out of this barn at McKinstry Farm in Chicopee with Will and Warren and Nicole McKinstry, this farm that's existed since 1908, and Jennifer Core from CESA, the local hero, folks. Now we're going into the cabbage barn.
You got a third hand?
Is this the set that you're just bringing in right now still?
Yeah.
Great.
Woo! Oh. Beautiful. That's like a Cabbage Patch Kid cabbage. It's like the perfect cabbage.
You all want one?
I'll take one. Thank you.
I don't know if we got enough to spare or not.
Well, the new CESA farmer merch says, CESA local hero, farmers feed everyone. So very literally happening right now.
Yes, it is. You show up with a microphone, people start handing you food.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that how that works? When did you move to Montgomery Street from McKinstry?
Oh, that was like 1938. There was a big flood down there with the river, and that was before all the riverbanks were formed. And after the third time the farm got flooded out, our ancestors said, you know what, enough of this. we need to find a safe place. And they found this on Montgomery Street on top of the hill. It used to be a horse farm, which now became a vegetable farm and still has been ever since.
And really nice road frontage for your store. Perfect location for that.
Thank you. Before, we were just a little seasonal store. This was our little store here. It's when the boys came on board, the little seasonal store was knocked down, and this is what they created.
It's a big store. Now we're looking in the back of a truck. What do we got in here?
What goodies you got from here, Will?
Oh, giant carrots. Beautiful, dirty carrots. I love it.
These are going to get washed, and they go sell in our store, and then they go to Boston and all over.
Do you distribute directly, or do you use another distributor?
We do it all directly, yeah.
Yeah, Will's got a special right now on 5-pound carrots going out, so they're hard to keep on the shelf. People love it.
Yeah.
He just harvested it. I don't know how he did it. It's freezing out there, but he's doing it. He knows everything. He knows the day it was picked. It's all controlled. I don't know how he keeps up with them.
And then are they processing stuff in this one over here?
Yeah. They're just passing turnips.
This is our passing
right
shed.
Oh, yeah. Cutting up turnips?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
How many people overall work at McKinstry?
During our really busy growing season, we're about 65. Right now, we're about 45.
That's
right
still
now.
A lot.
It is a lot. Yeah.
Keep 45 throughout the season, or will you shrink down even further?
We'll shrink down maybe to 40, but right now we're holding at 45.
Yeah. How many of them work at the store as opposed to like in the fields and processing?
So for the field, I have 10. And then it drops down in the winter. We use some on the H2A program. Just before Thanksgiving, I had some guys go back to Jamaica and Mexico.
Are you worried about the visas for your workers when next season rolls around?
A little bit, yeah, but hopeful.
Were any of your farm workers impacted by the hurricane in Jamaica?
Two of them went back actually right before the hurricane, but they said that their properties were okay for the most part. So, yeah, very thankful for that.
All right, heading into Warren's World, the farm store. It's Warren's World! It's Warren's World!
Party time! Excellent!
Coming through the back door. Hello.
Hello. This is Chachi.
Hello.
She's like our auntie to everybody.
Oh, I love it.
I am.
Everybody needs a good auntie. Now we're in the store.
Now we're in Warren's World.
This is the part I usually see.
Yeah, and it looks like a medium-sized grocery store, except it's got all sorts of farm products, as well as candy and cards and holiday gift type
and
stuff.
And, like, local milk and local meat, which is wicked cool, because weirdly, where I am in Springfield, it's very hard to get local milk. So this is one of the few places where I can come and actually get it.
Getting into our Christmas season now, so the fresh-from-the-field stuff's starting to wind down a little bit. As you saw, we still got cabbage, butternut, carrots, and turnip from the field. But we try to get as much local in as we can. We try to support local first. If we can't grow it ourselves, we'll try to get it locally first outside of that. And then right now we're getting to our Christmas tree season. So we just got our Christmas trees in. They came from Apex Orchards in Shelburne, Mass.
Love them.
Yeah, so we just got those in, got them set up. Along that, we got the wreaths up. We got kissing balls we do here.
I love kissing balls.
Christmas logs as well. And then the bakery, we're going to be starting with our Christmas pie order going pretty quick here. So a lot going on.
The bakery is here too?
The bakery is here too,
oh,
yep.
Wow.
Yeah, we have fresh pies. Yeah, muffins, all that fun stuff.
And is this all relatively new when the new farm store expanded and just a couple of years ago? Or
a lot of it's relatively new. We never did the Christmas trees or anything like that before, or even a lot of the Thanksgiving. We just did a big Thanksgiving pie order. Did a lot of pies there, and we did some meals as well in our snack shack. So we did like some stuffing and some fresh turkeys right from Ludlow we could have got from Liberty Farms.
Nice.
We also have a snack shack, Momo's Snack Shack. It is actually open all year round. The boys are very proud of it in the summertime. It's not your everyday restaurant that you can go quick place. We have fresh, our own tomatoes in there, or our own greens in there. We have local beef that we get in there that we use. It's all fresh made, so it's a great place, and sometime they should come out and try it.
Yeah.
It's till 3 o'clock.
I along those lines, like right behind here during the summer, is a soft serve that you also have.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things, the ice cream shop. Yeah, so that's new for when we started the store in 2021. So we got ice cream hard and soft, and it's been a big hit so far.
Are you making the ice cream in-house?
Unfortunately, not this time, no.
No, but they are looking into it. And since Will's passion is sweet corn, we are looking into sweet corn ice cream.
Ooh, yeah. That does sound delicious. Yum. And there's rumored to be maybe a bike path that would be near here, that like ice cream stand on the bike path in Chicopee.
Exactly. Kind of awesome. Yeah. So we'll see if that comes through. Yeah. That's what's looking like.
Oh, your auntie's trying to get through this door. We gotta move over.
There are very few farm stands that are open year round like this. So this is a pretty amazing thing for the community, and I imagine sustains the business to a certain extent.
It does. Yeah.
It does, and I agree with that. The sad thing is the boys don't get a break though. But I guess
listen to your mom. Take a break.
As they tell me. If you love it as much as they do, it's not work. So for me, not to worry about them. But when they pull 24-hour days, especially Will, and drives and in the field, it's a little nervous as a mother.
Making your mother nervous, Will.
No comment.
They say if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life.
You work every day.
Don't step on my joke. You work every day of your life.
Do you guys accept Snap and Hip here?
Yes, we are a Snap and Hip retailer, as I'm sure all of you are familiar with. And with the March, I mean, food insecurity is huge. We had some huge trials with that this year and in the end of last year. It's a very scary time, but food insecurity is real, and it affects everybody. And it's really sad to know that a country like ours, as great as ours, that, you know, our people have to worry about where their next meal's coming from. Sad.
It is sad. I will give a shout out to Jennifer Kaur, who did some of day one and all of day two on the march for the food bank.
Monty did both of day one and day two, and Kalise did a bunch too.
No, I did just day one. Kalise technically tells, prime day.
Yeah, when we were in Pittsfield.
I did that one.
But you had hard Wednesday.
I was crawling up my stairs, like modeling for my children, like when you're this age and your legs no longer work. So it turns out one can overestimate their fitness level quite easily. But it was awesome, an amazing event. I encourage anyone to think about doing it next
year.
And
you brought a bunch of farmers along too.
We brought a bunch of Local Hero members. It's pretty great to be walking through the fields, not literally, but past the fields, and realizing that connection between like what's happening across our farmscape and access to food in our community.
It's not just a clever hat from CISA that both Will and I are wearing right now. Farmers feed everyone, and you McKinstries are doing a great job feeding everyone here and helping people who may not have access to all of the money they need to pay for the food to make it more easy for people in a city like Chicopee that, you know, we got to walk through as part of the march. So kudos and thank you all so much for doing this for everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate coming out.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys and all that you guys do. So thank you very much.
Thanks for being right behind my house.